This is the 12 Songs of Christmas, today with Darling West. My name is Alex Rawls, and we'll start today with our first change, which is that you just heard our new theme music, which comes from New Orleans producer AF the Naysayer, made specifically for 12 Songs of Christmas. Thank you very much. This is also the first of our bi-monthly shows. From here until October, we'll be going twice a month rather than weekly, and we'll see how that works out, but I'm glad you're still along. And today, we are also going to have a guest that I'm really pleased to get. We have Darling West. Darling West is an Americana group from Norway. I first became aware of them when they toured America last fall. And while checking them out online, I discovered a video of their cover of Blue Christmas, which they posted on YouTube in 2017. They also posted a video of a Norwegian Christmas song. And the two combined to reflect the places where the trio finds inspiration, both in classic country and in Norwegian folk. I talked to Marie and Tor Egil Krekken, the married couple who are two-thirds of the band, when they were at home in Norway while they were working on their new album, which is titled While I Was Asleep, and it will be due out February 16th. They were working on songwriting for it, and we talked through their computer. So the sound is shaky at times, but we had a really good conversation about the ways in which Christmas does and doesn't cross cultural lines. We'll get to that right now. Titled, While I Was Asleep, it will be due out February. So I have to ask, you were just on tour in America, so how was that experience?
Well, we had a great time. We were there for a month, and we drove around 1,000 miles in that time, and we got to see a lot of the U.S. that we haven't seen before, and we enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, it was great. But it's really big, your country. The distances are so long.
So I wonder, when you're playing Americana music, playing folk music, and playing string band music, what America do you have in your head, or how does the experience of being here line up with the America or the world that's sort of encapsulated in the music that you're playing?
Yeah, it's a good question. We had a few shows in Colorado, and two of those at a folk festival in Pagosa Springs, and I felt like that was the perfect crowd for us, because we could really relate to them, and I felt like they could relate to us as well, musically, and also culture-wise, maybe. We're from a country with a lot of mountains, and I think that also affects how we write. And we felt really at home there. But of course, it was great to visit other places as well, and it's good to find friendships and related souls out there in different environments. But there are some places you go that you feel more at home because it relates more to what you're used to, I guess.
Sure. No, I understand that. I guess one of the things I think I ask is because I think when you're playing sort of folk music and roots-based music, that it is so tied to, so tied to traditions and so tied to, in a lot of ways, specific locales, and much of it is tied to specific locations in America, that I'm always fascinated by how you kind of deal with that history. And I remember at one point interviewing a musician from Austin, and they had written about, kind of a Marty Robbins-like song about gunfighters or things like that. And I had to stop and say, what's your experience with guns? much less gunfights, because there's an element to which I kind of wondered, is the material reflecting your life, your experience, or am I just kind of hearing about movies you've seen? And and so sorting out, you know, I think in this music, how you deal with the roots and how you deal with the history of the music that you're, the musical world you're living in, I always find fascinating.
Yeah, we do too, and we have actually talked quite a lot about that, because I write most of the lyrics, and I try to be more universal in where the stories could play out, because at least in terms of history, because I've tried to relate it to how we live today. I'm not going to write about like cell phones or anything, but I most of the time I try to not date it to a specific time, and also, well, but still dealing with the emotions that we as human beings have dealt with, of course, all along.
We actually have one song on our album While Asleep that we intended to be like a murder ballad, which is a very American term, I guess. But there is a story from the mountains that we're in right now. It's a Norwegian story about a man who became an outlaw because of a crime that he did. And it could be an American murder ballad, I guess. But it's an actual story from Norway.
Yeah, if you didn't know the backstory, I'm sure it could fit just as well into an American outlaw story of some sort.
Well, very cool. One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because last Christmas season, you shot two videos of Christmas songs. You did versions of Blue Christmas and, I assume, a Norwegian folk song. Is that Kling No Klaka? Is that how you pronounce
it?
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah,
so,
really good.
Yay. So you you recorded these and posted them on YouTube. What was the story behind that?
We like to do that as a little Christmas greeting for the holidays. So the Blue Christmas was actually from the year before.
Ah.
And Kling No Klokka was last year. So we plan to do one this year. Also, we haven't really picked out a song yet, but we will.
Do you plan to do one again this year?
Absolutely, yeah. We haven't picked the song yet, though.
Sure. So, at first, I think this is interesting. So, by the way, these songs only exist on YouTube. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. We haven't had the time to record them in a proper studio yet. So, but if we end up doing a Christmas album someday, I'm sure we'll record those songs.
Well, the reason I'm interested in this is so far, a lot of the time when I talk to musicians about Christmas music and about that, a lot of the time it ultimately does at some level connect to kind of the gift economy, the idea that somebody did this sort of just to put something out there for their friends or to do, you know, sort of a musical thank you. And I thought that was really interesting, the idea, because that's not the impulse that drives so much of your music. Is that right? In most of your music, you appreciate your audience, but it's an expression of you and you're putting it out there with the sort of the more common relationship between you and your audience. Here's my music.
Yeah.
Do what you will with it. Whereas with Christmas, it seems more like, hey, here's something we just have for you.
For when we made that Norwegian folk song, holiday song, and put it out, that was, I think, maybe more to it than that, it was nice. It was a nice way of also putting our Norwegian roots into our music and showing our tradition in to a lot of fans that's outside our country and know a lot about our culture. That was kind of a good opportunity to show some of that side of us, I guess. But ultimately, it was the greeting card.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's even what you just said about the song is kind of as a chance to, you know, sort of put your Norwegian cultural roots out in front for a moment. And it's one of the things I've always found interesting, and as far as I can tell, it sort of goes back sort of in the history of sort of American Christmas music, was that Christmas music often existed kind of as a vacation from an artist's career. And that a Bing Crosby would be singing, you know, not Christmas songs, would be singing far more conventional songs. And then you got to a moment where he'd stop and he'd record a Christmas album or Christmas music and then go back to whatever else he was doing. And the same with whoever the singer and whatever the artist. And that idea that this music exists is almost like an interruption or a vacation from your career. I find that really fascinating. The idea that you would do something here that you wouldn't do the rest of your, you know, you wouldn't do other times in your music, like put your Norwegian roots forward.
Yeah, right. And also, I think when as a musician, working musician, you do these Christmas songs, you feel maybe some kind of fellowship with a lot of other musicians that you don't relate to this much out of the season, because it's kind of a community thing also, that this is the season where we all sing the same songs, kind of. And that's also a good feeling, I think, to feel community with everyone. And it's not all about me and my art and my way of expressing myself. This is something that we do together, maybe.
Actually, it's funny. That's a place I wanted to go with this conversation, because I was trying to think what in your mind would be the common thread between Blue Christmas and Kling Noklaka.
Yeah, right.
And I wonder if part of it is the idea of community, that whether it is a song that people sing together like a folk song, or a song that brings people together like a pop Christmas song, and a song that isn't simply an expression of one person's sort of art and sort of aesthetic vision, in the way that sort of blue Christmas is one of those songs that, while there are, you know, while Elvis may have the version that you love most, there are a lot of great versions of Blue Christmas, and it's not that Elvis owns it or that you're covering Elvis if you do it. It's a song that a whole lot of people have done, and you've joined the community of people who've done it, and you've put another song out there for the community of people who love this thing and love this kind of thing. And I find that a really interesting possibility, that idea that this is ultimately about community.
Yeah, I agree. Also, one thing I thought about that from a musician's nerdy perspective, it's really so much fun to hear the different versions. Of course, some people write new Christmas songs, but if you put those aside, there are so many artists and musicians who are choosing from a relatively limited amount of songs and then interpreting them in their own way. And that is it, almost like a jazz standard material, only it's way more limited because there are fewer songs. And to hear those different versions is really, really interesting to me and exciting.
I'll tell you what, I want to pick up that thread in just a minute, but before we go on, we should let people hear what we're talking about here. So let's start with Darling West's version of the country classic, Blue Christmas. Well, as even what you just said about the song is kind of a chance to, you know, sort of put your Norwegian cultural roots out in front for a moment. And it's one of the things I've always found interesting. As far as I can tell, it sort of goes back sort of in the history of sort of American Christmas music, was that Christmas music often existed kind of as a vacation from an artist's career. And that a Bing Crosby would be singing, you know, not Christmas songs, would be singing far more conventional songs. And then you got to a moment where he'd stop and he'd record a Christmas album or Christmas music and then go back to whatever else he was doing. And the same with whoever the singer, and whatever the artist. And that idea that this music exists is almost like an interruption or a vacation from your career. I find that really fascinating. The idea that you would do something here that you wouldn't do the rest of your, you know, you wouldn't do other times in your music, like put your Norwegian roots forward.
Yeah, right. And also I think that when you have a musician, a working musician, maybe some kind of fellowship with a lot of other musicians that you don't relate to.
First, why that song?
Yeah, why that song? It's a few years ago, so I'm not sure if it's my feelings about it is accurate at this moment, but I think it was because I used to love that song as a kid. And we had not the Elvis version in our house, but it was a version on this collective Christmas CD. I don't remember even who did it. I have a sister and a brother, and we always mime the backup vocals and had a lot of fun. And it was also, I think, to get our friend Kjetil to play pedal steel.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we think that song, I'm sure there are a lot of people who use pedal steel on that song, but we really wanted to do a version with pedal steel, and because it's such a good fit for that, the melancholy of that song.
Yeah, so it was not more fancy.
Oh, I think it's excellent. I love that version. But and that what you just told me is, I always think is interesting, the idea that you chose a song specifically because you wanted to use a certain instrument and a certain player, which I often suspect to be true, but nobody really kind of cops to that.
Yeah, we're telling you on a podcast.
So how did you decide how you wanted to perform that song?
Well, when we do this, we usually just start with guitars and try to figure out the arrangement if we want to stay true to like the common chord progressions, or if we want to try to do something a little different. And then we spent some time just playing it and getting the feel for the song. And then I guess I decided that I wanted to try the banjo. And then we
made Kjetil play the pedal steel.
Yeah.
We wanted him to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't get much of a choice. So Mari and I will kind of make the main arrangement, and then if we want someone to join us, we'll invite them in after we have like the basic arrangement ready.
Okay. Now, Mari, you said that you heard this growing up on a compilation album.
Yeah.
What other, how much sort of American Christmas music would you hear in Norway during the Christmas season?
I think we hear quite a lot on the radio. And then after that, I guess it depends on how people relate to Christmas music and if they feel that the American songs are Christmassy enough. I know a few people, probably not our age, but a little older, that mostly like the Norwegian traditionals or to get in the mood of Christmas. But I think the last 10 years, American Christmas music has grown pretty big here in Norway as well. And you hear a lot of American, like that Blue Christmas, that Elvis era, and the Norwegian traditions mixed together.
Are there a lot of Norwegian artists who are also recording Christmas music?
Yeah, there aren't that many people who write new songs, but like you say, I think most Norwegian artists will record traditional Christmas songs. And then there are a few who have written their own songs, but a lot of them are doing Christmas songs in like a pop setting.
And actually, it's kind of a big business here in Norway as well to do the Christmas album, because you can't really tour throughout the whole year here because it's really small. And if you're an artist that has your market mostly in Norway, you have to find other ways to maybe be able to do shows during that month, December, which is a month that nothing else happens than Christmas music. You can't really tour with anything else. So there's a lot of albums coming out, and some of them we suspect is kind of a marketing, what's it called?
Tool.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know how that is for you.
Oh, no, I think that's absolutely the case. And part of my fascination with Christmas music is that that has always been the case, that it's always kind of occupied a space where it is partly, clearly, sort of this, you know, beautiful aesthetic object where people are making, musicians are making all the same musical choices they would make the rest of the year, but at the same time, it's something that is very clearly designed to sell. And designed, and in many cases, I think probably originally designed to give them something special and a special show at the end of the year, and music that could make, you know, get people to go to shows in December when otherwise the weather is lousy, and they have other things to do besides go to shows.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's good to hear that it's not only us.
No, and. Yeah, I've always been fascinated by the argument that Christmas is too commercial, because Christmas was commercial at least in America, starting in about the middle of the 1800s. Quickly, that there was the sort of the development of an entire sort of gift industry in the, I want to say, 1820s, 1830s, and so. It has been pretty thoroughly baked into the American Christmas experience, has been a commercial component. And while I had no idea, that doesn't surprise me that a part of the Norwegian Christmas experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. But there's, of course, a longer tradition here that goes beyond that, where the traditional folk songs are from that didn't have that commercial aspect to it. And so it's nice to get some of that feel into that season as well.
So, okay, so let's pick up that thought right there. So I want to now play part of your video of Kling No Klaka. And so obviously the we have this is YouTube audio, and this is, you shot this on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
So have that in mind, everyone that hears it.
Exactly right. So we're going to hear a moment of that, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, I don't. There aren't that many people who write new songs, but well, like you say, I think most people, most Norwegian artists, will record traditional Christmas songs. And then there are a few who have written their own songs, but a lot of them are doing Christmas songs in like a pop setting.
And actually, it's kind of a
okay, so for those of us who don't speak don't speak Norwegian, what is the song?
The title means ring the bells.
Yeah, and that's mostly what it's about. It's about ring the bells for Christmas, and I guess it's about the tradition from past times where you work until the day off that is Christmas, and there was a time of day, 5 p.m., I think the tradition is, that they ring the church bell, and then then you have like 1 or 2 days off your work schedule, which I guess was pretty harsh in those times. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the melody is a very old folk song. I think it's from the 17th century, but the lyrics to it was written by Elias Blix late 1800s. That's on, I don't know exactly when, but around that time.
Yeah, it's a very the melody has a very Norwegian ring to it. It's how a lot of our folk songs are built up, kind of. Yeah.
Is there a large body of Christmas season folk music?
From Norway?
From Norway, yes.
Well, not a large body, I guess, but there are certainly a few old traditional Norwegian songs, but most of what people sing today are just Norwegian translations of the same songs that you have.
Oh, really?
I love that.
Wow. What a scam. No, I don't know how to, I don't know if it's a large amount of Norwegian songs, but there's absolutely, if you dig and want to make a Christmas album, you have a lot to choose from.
Here's the thing I was wondering about in this area was also how, is one valued more than the other? Do people consider the folk songs more real or more authentic or somehow truer to a Norwegian Christmas than a Blue Christmas, and that, you know, an American pop song, whether it's sung in English or sung in Norwegian?
Oh, I think that depends so much from person to person, but maybe that's also a question of age. I know a lot of the grown-up generation that we're not that young, but our parents and that group, I feel like they tend to feel like it's a more authentic feel to the Norwegian traditionals, absolutely.
But also like a song like Silent Night, Grabe Jul in Norwegian, which is I think originally an Austrian song or something, that the Norwegian version of that song is one of our most popular Christmas songs, yeah. I would say.
It's true.
So
maybe not only the Norwegian songs, but the old songs. Maybe it has something to do with tradition and how old a song is, and if there's a lot of people who have been enjoying it before us. I feel like the new stuff isn't so much respected as the old stuff.
Do you think is it tied to, obviously yes, sort of spitballing here, but is this tied to sort of cultural identity, or is it just tied to nostalgia?
That's hard to say.
Yeah, it's a really good question.
There's definitely a lot of tradition involved, that, you know, you sing the same songs every year and kind of, I guess, inherited the songs that your family sang from your grandparents, kind of. So a lot of tradition for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess nostalgia plays into it as well.
Yeah, the two things maybe go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Sort of. I bet there's research on this. Someone knows the answer.
Sure.
But I feel like there's a fun thing with that song, O Holy Night, which we also have in Norwegian, called O Helga Natt. And there's some people in Norway who do not want to hear any other version of that than a Norwegian really well-known singer from the 50s, maybe even before, maybe 30s, and his name was, I can't remember, what was it?
The Swedish, yeah. Jussi Björling.
Jussi Björling. Yeah, he sings it with a lot of pathos, and it's
like an opera singer.
And they made a recording of that when he was alive, which I guess was in the 40s. And that's the ultimate version of that song. And if you want to do that song, you should really take care and do your best effort, because no one can compare to that,
right?
To that version. Yeah, that's a lot of that nostalgia, I guess. But you get your favorites, and that's how it should be every year.
Oh,
One of the things that brings us back to the band is like when you do Christmas songs. Obviously you're first you're making a choice of a song that somehow is good for you as a band. But do you think about the song sort of to some extent as kind of as an advertisement for you as a band? That, you know, and that people who may be looking for Christmas music, more so than looking for Darling West music, find this, and this becomes their way into your music.
I haven't really thought about that. I didn't think people would... I haven't thought about it like that, but of course you're right.
We don't have a lot of followers on YouTube, right? So it's not like we have a lot of hopes for that. It's funny that you've heard them, though.
Yep.
You live in New Orleans.
Yes.
And you heard those songs.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So.
So fun.
Thanks to Marie and Tor Egel of Darling West for the time and the talk. They were starting work on their new album when I talked to them, and it should be out February 16th. Title is While I Was Asleep. You can find out more about them and about the upcoming album on Facebook, where you can also find 12 songs. Stop by and leave a comment. How am I doing? And who should I be talking to? Again, our new theme song was written for 12 songs by AF the Naysayer, and you can find him as well at soundcloud.com/AF the Naysayer. We'll finish with more of the 12 songs theme, which I really, really like and can listen to on a loop. See you in 2 weeks.